Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We are starting this hour with a book of poetry called Diaries of a Terrorist, which probes the space between violence and safety. It's poet Christopher Soto's latest work. In it, Soto centers stories of victims of violence, whether at the hands of a relative or a violent predator. He also explores what it means when that violence is carried out by the same systems that are supposed to prevent violence: police, prisons, the justice system. A review from the Poetry Foundation says, quote, alongside its uncompromising portrait of injustice, Diaries of a Terrorist also offers audacious glimmers of hope. Christopher Soto's activism in and around the literary community elevates the voices of queer and immigrant writers. He organizes protest readings with other poets in the wake of the Trump administration's policy of separating migrant families at the border. Joining me now from El Salvador to talk about his new book of poems, Diaries of a Terrorist, we are pleased to welcome Christopher Soto. Hi.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Allison.
So you write these beautiful, sometimes melancholy, thought-provoking, feeling-provoking poems. And then I also mentioned activism is a huge part of your life and your work. How do you see the two as related?
Yeah, so with poetry, I think about its role in the abolitionist movement as having two components. One, I think of poets as the daydreamers, the wanderers. You know, we're not politicians, we're not tied to legislation. What that means is that we get to imagine the world as we wish it would be, beyond any confines, beyond any rules. And so when I approach the poem or I approach the page as a poet and an activist, I'm not thinking, how do we accomplish this in the Senate? I'm thinking, how do I dream and how do I create paths where we can envision the world beyond what may or may not be realistic? The other way that I think about the intersection of poetry and activism is that poets are really meticulous with language. In this little book of poems, my debut, Diaries of a Terrorist, it's only 81 pages, but it took me about 8 years to finish. And what that means is that I was looking at every line break, every capitalization, every word. And so as a poet working at the intersection with the justice system, I hear words like incarceration, and I wonder if that's the most accurate word for us to use when talking about what the police are doing to our community members. Instead of incarceration, should we be using the words human caging? I hear about and I see people being taken from the streets by the police. And I don't know if the word arrest is appropriate or if instead what I'm seeing is kidnapping. My community members being taken from their social and their economic lives unsuspectingly by strangers. And so that's what I think the poet can do, is use language and be meticulous with language to make state violence legible where otherwise may not be legible. And by doing that, we can create worlds that exist and that are better than what we're currently dealing with.
You know, I have in my office at WNYC, it's a quote from, and I always pronounce the name wrong, Elie Wiesel, that says, don't say income inequality when you can say hungry child.
Yes, yes.
I think it's important, the word choice.
Exactly.
The poem center stories of survivors of violence, including yourself. What do you hope these stories reveal about root causes of violence and maybe some of the unseen or unthought about aspects and the effects of violence?
Yeah, so this poetry book really does center survivors and stories of violence. I think that at large, in the wake of 2020 and uprisings related to the murder of George Floyd, there were conversations in the mainstream had about abolition and defunding the police. And I think at that time, we gained some vocabulary around issues that we consider to be nonviolent, so mental health or housing, and we were able to say, all right, the police may not be the best people to respond to housing crisis or to mental health related needs. But I think one of the things where, as a movement or as a population, we're still building language is around issues of violence. And one of the things that I want to do, aside from make state violence legible, is to kind of push against this narrative that there's a correlation between policing and safety. I look at this organization called RAIN, Rape and Incest National Network, and they have stats that say out of every 1,000 instances of sexual assaults, there's only 25 perpetrators of sexual assault that are then incarcerated. So what that means is that about 2.5% of people who commit sexual assault are then incarcerated. If you did 2.5% of any other job, you would be fired. That's a failure. So we need to name that the police are failing to respond, even within their own metrics of using carceral systems, to violent actions. The other thing is, say that incarceration really does respond to sexual violence, and that 2.5% of people is incarcerated, or perpetrators of sexual assault incarcerated, is a success. When they're incarcerated, how are these people being supported so that they could then re-enter society and not commit those same acts of violence? So for me, nowhere along the process are we actually stopping violence, preventing it from reoccurring, or supporting survivors of violence.
I also, as we're having this conversation, want to give out the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number is sexual assault hotline, 1-800-656-4673. My guest is Christopher Soto. The name of the new book of poetry is Diaries of a Terrorist. You brought something for us to read for us. Would you set this up a bit so that we can listen?
Of course, thank you. The first poem that I'll read is called Meteor Shower, or Where the Sky Skid Its Knees, in memory of Tony. Police killed our neighbor on his doormat, 50 footsteps from his bed. The bullets auburn cologne sprayed over him. And after the first shot, there were fireflies stumbling. After the first shot, we fell to the floor and then fell to the basement where computers couldn't speak up. Huddled in the corner, downloading the latest version of him. When our friend told us, "Don't look out the window," Tony had an anchor on his breath. Police killed our neighbor, and we didn't know until the moon went to sleep. "Tony, wake up." We peeked out the window, pulled thin film from our lips. We struck a match across our face to light the room, and terror was scribbled on us. "Is this war or genocide?" The ambulance lights pirouetted like ballerinas. A different man was mourning on the street, wailing and trying to take off his shirt. He fell to the pavement, then police paced towards him. Guns gloomed by their waist, and all we could think was, "Not again. Who will protect us from the police, if not ourselves?"
That was Christopher Soto reading from Diaries of a Terrorist. When did you write that poem?
That poem was written around 2018. It took me a few years after the murder of my neighbor by the police to really grapple with the poem and feel ready to write it. And I think that it was forced out of me. It wasn't a story or wasn't a poem that I wanted to write, but I didn't know how to move forward without putting it onto the paper.
You know, as we're talking about language, you know, when you talk about issues like violence and race, safety, justice, people say, oh, it's complicated terrain, but it really shouldn't be. But it's people not. Find it complicated. But yeah, yes, exactly. To your point, it's not. It shouldn't be. So as you're working on your poems and you're thinking about your word choice, how are you thinking about supporting that idea that it isn't, it shouldn't be complicated?
I think sometimes we say things are complicated when we don't really want to engage with the subject matter. I remember during the early lives of the Black Lives Matter movement, there was a lot of aggression towards abolitionist by allies in the movement who were reformist. And one of the things that I noticed was that people were equating their personal safety with policing. And so what that meant was people did not want to talk about abolishing or defunding the police, because to them, what that meant was you are taking away my personal safety. And for me, that shows that we need a vast reimagining of what personal safety looks like. For me, conversations around abolition are about putting survivors at the front, putting these instances of violence at the front, and not thinking about how are we going to move into a world that is beyond violence. That's not possible. It's not possible to create a world without violence. But what our goal should be is, how do we create a world that has enough language so that when violence does occur, we know how to more appropriately respond to it, and we can support the people who are most impacted by that violence.
So to follow, the lack of language, the lack of having an understanding how to talk about these subjects leads people to say, like, oh, it's too complicated.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
My guest is Christopher Soto. The name of his poetry collection is Diaries of a Terrorist. There's a poem called The Terrorist Shaved His Beard, and in it you ruminate about the possibilities of the etymology of the word terrorist and different grammatical features, and you draw relationships between ideas. How does language factor into the ways that we think about, we've talked about the issues, but about actually the subjects in your poem?
Could you elaborate a little bit more what types of subjects you're talking about? Subjects in terms of individuals or in terms
of
life?
In terms of the voices that you are the voices you're giving voice to in your poems.
Okay, I got it. So the book is organized in four components. It starts in my home, looking or witnessing the murder of my neighbor by the police. And then it expands a bit larger, and I start looking at juvenile detention within Los Angeles County. And then in the third section, the book expands even larger than that. And I start looking at instances of violence and responses to violence, particularly state violence transnationally, from Palestine to El Salvador to New York. And then in the final section, I close with a bit of more philosophical poem that's meditating on what constitutes as violence. And in order to do that, I wanted to look at the three ways that my body has been hit. So one is domestic violence, one is through kink, and one is through boxing. So in those three instances, my body is being hit. But in one way, I'm getting traumatized. In another, it's sexual arousal. And in another, it's athleticism in my adrenalism is going. And so you could have the same contact or the same matter of being hit, but depending on the context in which that hit occurs, the person's reaction to that action is different. And so in a way, I think about the structure of my book as kind of being an on-ramp starting at the smallest instance and then going larger, 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 more philosophical. So in that process, I wanted to kind of bring people along with me before we got to the large, broad philosophical conversation about what constitutes as violence. And so that's kind of why you start seeing so many, you know, embodiment poems from different parts of the world and from different perspectives, is because I want to continue to grow the scope by which we're looking at the issue.
Christopher, will you leave us with another poem?
Yeah. So this poem is called "The Joshua Tree Submits Her Name Change." She stepped across our chest, dragging her shadow and fraying all the edges. Our nipples bloomed into cacti, fruit and flower. She ate, then we did. A needle pricked her. We've seldom seen this woman cry, squeezed like a rain cloud. She cried because two men built a detention center from bone and clay. The first bone, our clavicle, the second, her spine. She howled as the fence surrounded her. She coughed and combed the floor, our chest, shivering. Inside the detention center, she was renamed illegal. She lost 15 pounds in mental health, and her feet were cracked tiles, dirty dishes. This border isn't a stitch where nations meet. This border is a wound where nations part.
The name of the collection of poems is Diaries of a Terrorist. I've been speaking with its author, Christopher Soto. Christopher, thank you for sharing your poetry today.
Thank you so much, Allison.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.